grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So today's gospel reading is all about authority, right? Particularly who has it and where does it come from. And I'll admit that this text hit me a little differently this time. That's because since this past January, I've been working on a project that's really tied to authority. First, a little bit of background. Ever since I started serving here with all of you 15 years ago, I've been part of a weekly pastor's Bible study. We get together every Tuesday and look at the upcoming readings for the next Sunday. So we brainstorm sermon ideas and stuff like that. Well, last December, the two pastors who are leading the group both retired. One of the two had written a weekly reflection for the group, and the other led a Greek study so that we could look at the text in the original language. Well, since they were retiring, they needed two people to step into these two roles. The pastor who led the Greek passed that off to Pastor Benjamin at St. John's in Vandalia. And he's really good, right? He's a friend of mine, and I didn't even know how good he was at Greek. Well, the pastor who wrote the reflections then asked me if I would do that part. At first, I was hesitant, right? I mean, who was I to step into this role? Shouldn't one of the other pastors who's been in ministry even longer than me do that? Right? What gives me the authority to lead this group? Well, after some time of prayer, I said yes and gave it a shot. Well, after a few weeks of reading what I wrote, some of the other pastors in the group said they really appreciated my approach to the text. They said it helped them think about it in some new ways. Some of them were even forwarding what I wrote to other pastors who weren't in our group. Well, since these colleagues of mine were so supportive and encouraging, I thought maybe some others might like to read what I wrote too. So I put it all together in a book. The manuscript is 146,000 words, which is 475 double-spaced pages. About 8 weeks ago, at the start of August, I submitted the manuscript proposal to a publisher. And so now I'm just twiddling my thumbs and waiting for their decision. Part of the book proposal application asked for endorsements. And I'm sure you've seen endorsements on the books that you've read, right? They're the little blurbs from people who have read the book and really liked it and try to convince you to like it too. Well, the endorsements are there, of course, because you might not know who the author is, but you might know who the people endorsing it are. And if they say the book is good, then maybe you'll be more likely to buy it. Well, I started reaching out to some of the big names in the academic preaching world. I sent them my manuscript, told them what I was doing, and asked if they would endorse it. And 9 of them have agreed to endorse it. I mean, these are people who have written their own books on preaching. These are seminary professors. These are people who will be speakers at the Festival of Homiletics, which is the highly respected preaching conference every year. Right? So I'm kind of geeking out that these big names have agreed to endorse my little book. Now, I share this all with all of you not to brag that I wrote a book, but because it's all about authority. All right, I mean, the pastors who are leading this Bible study had authority to lead that group. But what gives me the authority to lead them now? Is it simply because they just decided to pass the torch on to me? And those book endorsements work the same way. Right? The publisher and the average reader probably has no clue who I am. Right? Like, why should they care what some pastor from Dayton, Ohio has to say? But they might recognize the names of the people who endorse the book. So maybe that'll convince them. But you don't have to be leading a Bible study or writing a book to know that we all kind of struggle with authority. right? Who has authority? Where does it come from? How do you get it? Why should we listen to it? For example, if you're a parent, you have authority with your kids, right? But then again, how many kids, or even yourself when you were a kid, have said to their parents, "You're not the boss of me. Why should I do what you say?" Or maybe they just flat out ignore the parents completely. And how many parents have said to their kids, "Because I said so"? See, there's a struggle with authority there, right? Or think about election season. Does the fact that someone has political office give them authority? Why should you listen to this politician instead of that politician? Why should you vote for candidate A instead of candidate B? Or think about well-known names in your fields. What makes them so well-respected? Why are they the ones people turn to for advice and guidance and endorsements? Would they still have authority if nobody listened to them? Or do people listen to them because they have authority? Right, basically, the question of authority really boils down to, why should I listen to you? This gospel reading is all about that question. And in particular, why should we listen to Jesus? The scene begins when some chief priests and elders question Jesus' authority. "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you that authority?" Oh, okay, first of all, what are these things they're talking about? In the scene right before this, Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He went into the temple, drove out the money changers, flipped over the tables, and then he cursed an unfruitful fig tree, which was a symbol of Israel. Right, so Jesus has been criticizing the religious establishment for not actually living the way God wanted. But who is he to come in and make such a commotion? That's what the chief priests and elders wanted. So basically, they're asking him, why should we listen to you? What gives you the right to do these things you're doing? Let's see your letters of recommendation or read your endorsements. Well, Jesus doesn't give them any, right? Instead, he asks them his own question. Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" Now, the chief priests and elders argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, then they'll say, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Stop here for a minute and notice something. They know they can't say John's authority comes from the people, because the people regard John as a prophet, and a prophet's authority comes from God. And if they admit John's authority was from God, then Jesus will say, "Why didn't you believe him?" This means they know that John's authority came from God. They just aren't willing to admit that. This is why Jesus tells the parable that comes next. Because it's about knowing someone has authority, but still choosing not to obey them. As Jesus tells the story, there was this father. And a father has authority simply because he's a father, right? Well, his two sons don't really listen to that authority. He told one son to clean up his room and take out the trash, or something like that. The son said, I don't want to. You're not the boss of me. Why should I listen to you? And he kept on playing his video game. But then, after the father left the room, the son realized he was kind of rude. So he turned off his game, cleaned up his room, and took out the trash. While he was doing that, the father went down the hall to the room of the second son and told him to do his homework and mow the grass. That son said, you got it, Dad. I'm on it. Don't worry about it. As the father left the room, the son rolled his eyes, texted some nasty comment about his dad to his friend, and kept on playing his game. Which of the two did the will of his father? The first one, right? The one who actually did what the father wanted? Oh, but the thing is, both sons disrespected their father. The one said the wrong words but did the right things. The other said the right words but did the wrong things. Think about the original audience who heard this parable. Yes, the tax collectors and the sinners may have responded to the message of the gospel, but their lives were still a mess. And yes, the chief priests and the scribes may have been living the way God wanted, but they weren't really listening to God. Or to put it all another way, it's the difference between being spiritual but not religious and being religious but not spiritual. Right, if somebody says that they have a close relationship with God, but they don't actually live out their faith in public, then what's the point? Or if somebody lives the way God wants, if they're super involved in the church, if they go out and serve people, if they're willing to lend a hand whenever they need, but they don't actually spend time with God, then what's the point? We need both words and actions. Your personal relationship with God should lead to a life that shows that relationship to others. And this is why Jesus is the ultimate authority. Because unlike us hypocritical sinners, Jesus' words and actions always match. Not only did he talk about God's love, but he actually lived it. As we heard in the second reading today from Philippians 2, in that beautiful Christ hymn, he humbled himself, took the form of a slave, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is the one who chose to suffer and die for you. He is the one who chose to conquer the grave and give you new life. He is the one that was given the name that is above every name. And yes, there are some people who still question his authority. There are some people who still won't admit that he comes from God. There are still some people who think they know better than him. But then again, there are also still some people like us who recognize his authority over our lives. And so, out of love and respect for him, we serve him and we fall on our knees before. And then Jesus lifts us up and empowers us to share his love with others. He gives us authority to tell others about him. Jesus gives you authority to tell others about him. Now, of course, some people may still look at us and wonder, why should I listen to you? But that's how it goes. On the other hand, some people will listen. But whether they listen or not, Jesus is still our ultimate authority. And we are still his disciples. That means you don't just have a big name backing you up. You have the name that is above every name backing you up. When it comes to your life of discipleship, that is an awesome endorsement. So, in the name of this one who has authority in our lives, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.